Welcome to G.L. Horton's Stage Page Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 1st of July, 2007, my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. It's been a while since I've mentioned what this show is all about. Our primary focus here is to interest theater artists in the works of G.L. Horton, to let some know that there are producible works available on stagepage.info, and to let others know that they can find a treasure trove of short speeches there that are free for use as audition or classroom pieces. Perhaps we should also include forensics classes and contests in that list, though we'd much prefer if you email GL for permission to do that. She gets such a rush when she hears her work is in competition. Her email is g.l.horton@mindspring.com, and her website is www.stagepage.info. Tell all your friends about it. We missed doing our show last week. Not entirely our fault, though. You see, Sunday morning the house modem went out, which felt good because I had nothing prepared anyway. Then there was the vacation deal. My stepdaughter left town for a week, leaving her slightly reduced dog walking business in my trembling hands. While that's only about 4 hours a day, they are four difficult hours, plus another hour of driving around and another hour or two winding down, which would be why I don't really have anything for you this week either. Jerry might have helped a bit more, but she's finishing up another play, one scheduled for a reading in maybe a week. Which meant she not only is heavily into rewrite, but she had to organize and organize for a reading at our house, which is what we're about to discuss. I'm sitting here in my living room with the playwright G.L. Horton, who happens to be my actress wife, Geraldine. And this living room was the site of an unusual occurrence earlier this week. Tell me about it.
Well, you saw it. You were part of it. It was a living room reading of a script freshly written. The story behind this script is that Lisa Burdick of Shadowboxing Theater, which is a developmental theater here in the Boston area, issued a call and a challenge to Boston playwrights. She'd heard about the group that writes a novel in the month of November, and she thought it would be really, really fun to challenge Boston playwrights to write a play in the month of April. And she said that anybody who completed a full-length play in the month of April, after signing up to do so, she would read that play herself, and if she thought it were good enough to be read in public by real actors, she would arrange for a reading for the ones that she liked. Well, I wrote a play in the month of April, and it was a political play. Now, political play ideas go through my mind all the time, but I don't write one very often because the usual lead time for a play is anywhere from 3 to 10 years between the time you complete your first draft and the time somebody sees it on a stage somewhere. And for politics, 10 years is a long time.
But you already had this mostly written with many of your little mouth-offs.
I don't know whether that's true, but certainly I had plenty of material for this play, both from the mouth-offs that I've been collecting and massaging into speeches, and from the reading I did and some of the organized events and petition writing and signing and marching and holding up signs I've done in the political actions in the last few years.
So what organization did you base this on?
I actually based it loosely on an organization called the Raging Grannies. Now, this is only loosely based. It's not on a particular what they call gaggle of grannies. I've met some grannies, and I've seen them perform, and I've followed their adventures in the press, but the characters that I put in the play are based on people that I met in other contexts that I sort of imagined into the context of what it is the Raging Grannies do.
What is that?
They wear stereotypical granny costumes that no real granny wears anymore, hats and shawls or aprons, and they play off the stereotypes of old women, either wisdom or talkative or feisty. And the point is that they are so pissed off at the way our government is behaving and the way our society is headed that they're going to intervene and shake their frail fists and jump up and down and sing satirical songs and make skits and generally rabble rouse, and even on some more rare occasions put their bodies on the line in civil disobedience in order to shake society up and show how much it changes called for.
Sounds like a fun group.
I think it is. But the question is this a reasonable and serious thing for one to devote hours of your life? And does the success or failure count, or is it the very effort itself its own reward and something that even if you lose the battles, it helps make it possible for someone else to win the war later? So I'm suggesting that there is a kind of autumnal wisdom here that the society, the larger society, really needs to attend to. And I'm also writing good parts for women who have gotten to an age where there just aren't that very many good parts anymore. And the good they do in their lives and their families and their community often goes unremarked because, after all, they have nothing better to do. They're retired.
So, who were these ladies who showed up at our house?
Oh, you mean the actresses?
The actresses.
Well, I should say first that after I wrote this play, I sent it to a couple of playwright friends of mine and said, you know, just how bad is this? Should I continue working on it? You know, I dashed it off in a month. A month is like by a factor of 20, much more quickly than I ever work. And they said, oh, sure, it looks promising. And they sent me back my typos and my misspellings and where I'd gotten things confused, also circled in pencil. And they said, and you also will need to hear it read by good actresses so you get an idea of how it actually works. So my friend June Lewin, who is a wonderful actress as well as a good critic, set out to help me put together a living room reading in my own living room. And between June's friends and my friends, I had a marvelous cast of Sarah Ford, Mickey Lipsy, Renee Miller, Rena Baskin, Gail Faneuf, and June Lewin. And then I had my dear David.
Me.
to read the part of the Prince Charming husband who is so supportive to his wife's participation in this political group.
He's actually the chief cook and bottle washer in the house.
Yes, well, I thought if we were dealing in ideals and fantasy, we might as well have an ideal husband in the play. And not that I'm saying only ideal husbands are to be indulged. Even a flawed husband is a pretty good thing to have as a companion through life.
So, what's next?
Well, it turns out that Tuesday, the very Tuesday before we had the reading, I got an email from Lisa saying that she liked my play, and she's going to do a public reading of it at the Playwrights Theater of Boston, which is a wonderful place that does new plays exclusively, on Sunday, July 8th, which is exactly 1 week from today.
No pressure.
So, I had all these suggestions and critiques that these wonderful, intelligent, sensitive actresses made after the reading we had, and now my job is to, after having written two drafts in 2 months, I have to write a third draft in less than a week. And that's what I've been doing since Wednesday, and was doing until you called me here to talk for this podcast.
Well, somebody here might want to show up. Where was that again?
It's at the Boston Playwrights Theater, which is 9-something or other Commonwealth Avenue. It's part of BU.
What time?
It's free. I don't know what time. It hasn't been decided yet. She said Sunday night, so I assume that it's somewhere between 5 and 8, and if you were to ask me my educated guess, I'd say 7:30, but neither the time nor the personnel for this reading has been nailed down yet. She told me she's going to be on the telephone this weekend. Two of the actresses who were in my Wednesday reading, Mickey Lipsy and June Lewin, have said that they will be in it again, and that's a great thing. But then we have to find another 4 actors, plus a male actor, plus some people to read stage directions and crowd noises and voices off stage and that kind of thing. It has some some massive scenes of Shakespearean plentitude, but we'll probably end up doing those as little podcast-type things, so we don't have to assemble the entire cast in the performance space.
Okay. So, now you know what we've been doing for the past 2 weeks. Sorry to have left you in the dark that way, but we didn't get internet access back until late Wednesday, and some of us are going into withdrawal by then. Not to worry, we've recovered, checked our favorite websites, cleaned up and out our email, and basically returned to normal. And several of those actresses have agreed to contribute to our effort. We'll see about that next week.